to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As many of you know, or at least some of you know, I've taken a two-day break after preaching 100 days from September the 15th through December the 25th, Christmas. Took a few days after that, and the Lord led me to preach on throughout the month of January. As we're entering, I believe, another tumultuous year. And so God led me and gave me the grace to preach 31 days strength. Gave me the strength to preach 31 days straight. And so I've taken a couple of days off. I may take off a few more days after today. And by the grace of God, we'll be preaching a very new and interesting series of messages in a few days. So may I encourage you to continue to pray for my strength in the Lord, as the old saints used to say, and as we prepare for that and get some rest for that. Today, by the grace of God, I will finish preaching a message that I started a few days ago, part of a mini series, The Blind Walk by Faith, and Jesus Gives Them Sight. We always talk about blind Bartimaeus, hardly. Do you hear a sermon about the two blind men? But this is a true account of two blind men who had faith in Jesus and both got healed. The Blind Walk by Faith and Jesus Gives Them Sight, Part 4, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 675. Since January the 20th, 2017, day 1040, pardon me, since January the 1st, 2016, by the grace of God. When you hear this title, you may think that this is just about the two blind men and not me or not you. But what it says to everybody, if God can heal two blind men who had faith in him, then God can heal you. God can bless you. God can open up doors for you in the name of Jesus Christ. So apply it to yourself. Everything you read in the Bible, apply it to yourself in some way and have it to increase your faith. To pray to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where you need to confess sin or unbelief or doubt or fear, confess it, repent of it, and have faith in God as Jesus Christ told you to do, because with God all things are possible, and I am a modern day living witness of that. And so if God can do it for the two blind men of Capernaum, we believe, God can do the same for you and for me, and has done so. And so if God can do it for me in these modern times, God can do it for you. And I am the least of all saints. So if God can do it for me, if God can answer my prayers, God can answer your prayers. I don't care what the situation is. As the old black saints used to say, try him. And you'll be amazed at what God can do. The Bible reads, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." All wise people, all smart people, listen to me very carefully, follow Jesus. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that makes your holy word plain to us and understandable. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word that lifts up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible for us through his life, his suffering, his shedding of blood, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, beginning at that point. And Lord, we thank you for the many and manifold, yea, millions of blessings that you bestowed upon us through him. And Holy Father God, we thank you for the privilege to remember him in communion today, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Help us to truly understand that without him we're nothing. So Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you. Help us to confess our sins before you as people who claim to be Christians and believers. Help us to repent of our sins. Help us to turn from our evil ways. Help us to humble ourselves before you and help us to get back to you, our first love. Those of us who are truly saved, fill us by your grace with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to preach and to hear and then to do. And Lord, those who are truly not saved, open their blinded eyes and help them to see their lost condition and help them to believe on Christ, repenting of their sins. And lead, guide, and direct us throughout the remainder of this service and then throughout the remainder of the day. And help us to pray without ceasing, for it got us through yesterday, a very tough day, a day of constant satanic attack. But it got us through and made us to be very successful and to accomplish things for your glory, for your kingdom, for the salvation of the lost. So Lord, help us to do it again today. Help us not to live by our feelings and what we think and our emotions, but Lord, to live based upon our faith in you, Holy Father God, knowing that you're there, knowing that you know about every situation. You know about the spiritual blindness in the lives of some. You know about the persecution that we're going through. You know about the attacks. Lord, help us just to keep our heads down and to pray without ceasing and to read your holy word and to meditate upon it and to live by it and to apply it to our lives. We pray, Lord God in heaven, for over 3 million souls to be saved. We knew that was not going to be easy when we started. But some of us never thought we would be confronted with such opposition. And we pray, Lord, for over 3 million Christians to get back right with you, to get their hearts right with you, to cut out their foolishness, their stubbornness, their rebelliousness, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from their wicked ways and to humble themselves, and for all of us to get back to you, our first love. And Lord, we pray for all of the people, thousands of folks who have sent in prayer requests down through the weeks and days and weeks and months and years. Lord, you know who they are. Lord, continue to meet their needs. Hear and answer their prayers. They email all the time asking for new prayer requests, asking us to pray for them regarding new prayer requests, so that ought to let us know that you're hearing and answering our prayers and you're hearing and answering their prayers. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would continue to do that and bless them all around the world. What a privilege it is to pray for thousands of folks. And Lord, now our staff led by Elizabeth are following up on people far better. And we pray that each and every person who has sent in a prayer request or said they got saved or rededicated their life to you or anything that they have done in your name, Lord, would be touched by an email, Lord, from us on a regular basis, and a newsletter, and that they may be encouraged in every country of the world. Bless them right now. Many of them are tuned in right now, Lord, through the miracle of the technology that you have wrought through man, your creatures. And we thank you, Lord, whether these people are lost or saved. We thank you for each and every one of the tech giants, the people that you've given the capacity in their minds and their ability to conceive the things that have been conceived, such as Facebook, such as Apple, such as Spreaker, and all of the ways that we're able to preach the gospel to people around the world. What a joy and what a privilege and what a blessing and what power you have shown to get your gospel to the nook and crannies, even better than television, of the world. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives, who are hearing us today. And use, Lord, other ministries to bring in more of your sheep from across the country and around the globe. Lord, you know who's standing for you. And bless them. And we pray that multiplied millions and, yes, even billions would come to know your Savior, regardless of their religious background. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. R.C. Sproul, another one of God's, you may sit down in the back, another one of God's choice theologians, gifted, who just have an ability to break down the Word of God on a sixth grade level, as we're all commanded to do. That's how Jesus did it. As Charles Spurgeon said, to put it on the lower shelves so that everybody can get it, even the children. In fact, one of the tragedies of our modern church life and times is the fact that people have taken children out of church completely. Because parents don't raise their children right anymore to sit still and be quiet. And so basically people come to church to use the church as a glorified babysitter to get rid of their children for about an hour and a half. And the children oftentimes are doing God knows what all over the property, playing volleyball, playing basketball, messing around with Pastor Pirate, Awanas, all of that, and which I have not seen. I hope there's much fruit that has come out of Awanas. I haven't seen much. They could learn more in church sitting beside their parents, I do believe. And they can do Awanas at home as a family thing. But anyway, one of the tragedies of our times, and the reason why by the droves, young people are leaving church. Why? Because there's no patch to pirate to keep them paying attention. There's no clown or no pizza in the services, no courting and messing around and playing around in church. But be that as it may, every pastor, every preacher, like R.C. Sproul, should make it plain and should not try to use difficult terms to get the gospel message out and the word of God out. So we thank God for Dr. R.C. Sproul and many others like him, Dr. Walvert, who I believe is now with the Lord, Dr. Zuck, and others. They have a gift at this. Dr. Sproul said, "The two blind men address our Savior as the Son of David because they understand the true identity of this Galilean carpenter. Restoring sight to the blind is among the Messiah's tasks found in Isaiah 42 and in using the messianic title Son of David, the men express hope that Jesus is the anointed one who will enable them to see. When the blind men enter the house with Jesus, our Lord has them confirm their belief that he is able to heal them. Like others before them, they are healed because their faith embraces the mercy and fatherly love of God along with his power, his might, and the generous design of Christ along with his ability to heal and to save." Now, before we go any further, before some of you begin to think, "Now, how does this pertain to me?" If you have been saved a while, you know God has worked a miracle or two for you as well. And God wants to simply remind you that he is able. He may not do anything great for you today, Danae, but he wants to remind you that he is able. And so when your time comes for another miracle, you need to be reminded to call on God in the name of Jesus Christ. For some of you who are asking, "How does this pertain to me?" You need a miracle, but you lack the faith, or you act like you do, and you don't pray. See, if you don't have faith in God, then you won't pray to God. See, if you have true faith, certain things will be done in your life, or you will do certain things in your life towards God. For example, if you have faith, you will fear God and respect God, and you will obey God. If you have faith in God, you will pray to God. It's kind of automatic. Be that as it may, Philip Schaff said, "Faith is the hand which takes what God offers, the spiritual organ of appropriation, the conducting link between emptiness, my God help us, and God's fullness." Can somebody say amen? Some of you today, you are empty, and you've been empty for a long time. You know why? Because you don't have faith in God. And you probably don't have faith in Jesus either. And therein lies a problem, a big problem. And that's why you're so empty. And that's why you're so void of joy and peace. That's why you're angry all of the time. That's why you're bitter. That's why you are resentful. Yet you claim to be a believer in Jesus. That's why none of your relationships work out. That's why you're constantly mad at people, and therefore, and in turn, rather, people are mad at you. You don't show anybody any favor because you're not being shown any favor, because the sky is brass to you and your lack of prayer. A little prayer with no faith. Your heart is not right. You have a stony heart. You have a haughty heart. You have, excuse me, a whorish heart. Speaking in the spiritual sense, as Ezekiel was speaking about in Ezekiel chapter 16. You hate God. You have turned your back on God. You turn your back, and if you turn your back on His Word, you've turned your back on God. If you turn your back on Jesus, you turn your back on God. You turn your back on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn your back on God. You have a problem. And you need to confess your sins. You might need to examine yourself, dear friend, to see whether or not you be in the faith. So that you can begin to have faith, because you don't have any right now, and maybe you have never trusted Christ as Savior. I don't know. That's between you and God. But something is wrong somewhere if you are defeated and disgusted and depressed all of the time. If you are constantly contemplating suicide, there's something wrong somewhere. You need to confess your sins. You need to repent. You need to unburden your heart of your evil ways, your pride, your stubbornness, your rebelliousness, your, therefore, witchcraft. You need to obey the simple commandment the Lord gave you many years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He said, have faith in God. Although the blind men had demonstrated faith through their actions. See, faith produces works. It produces actions, my dear friend. You can't go around talking about you have faith and you don't pray. And you don't believe God for anything. You know why many Christian marriages have fallen apart? Because they have not prayed. Listen to me very carefully. They have not shown faith in God by praying to God. If you're not praying to God, you don't have faith in God. You know why many churches are folding and falling apart? Because somebody's not praying. In the words of Leonard Ravenhill, they're playing. And when you don't pray, you're not showing forth faith in God. One of the key ways to show faith in God is through prayer. Amen, somebody. You know why many pastors are committing suicide or they're having suicidal thoughts? Because somebody's not praying, including him. Most pastors, rather many pastors, don't pray as they should. They don't even pray for themselves and their own family as they should, much less the church. And that's his main job, to give himself to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Somebody is not praying and somebody is playing. Although the blind men had demonstrated faith through their actions and through their words, their journey of faith was not over. They next demonstrated their faith by persistence. Importunity, as Jesus called it. As they followed Jesus into the house where he was staying, begging him to have mercy. Have you ever been around a saint of God that they just have so much faith in God, they're kind of uncouth? and you have faith in God too, but you try to carry yourself in a certain manner, in a certain way. But there, you have these saints that they care, but they really don't care what people think. And they have strong faith in God. Have you ever been around these folks? And when you would stand at the door and wait to be asked to come in, they go right on in. I believe that these two blind men were kind of like that. They did not let unfamiliar territory and the possibility that they might be shut out of the house discourage them. They were determined. They were persistent. They were practicing importunity. They wanted their prayer answered. They so strongly believed that Jesus would and could heal them that they followed Jesus into a place where they did not belong. You say, preacher, they were trespassing. To them, they were trying to get sight. So, whatever. They would not let the matter go until they had an answer from the Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus asked them very simply, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" By the way, Jesus is asking you that today. Do you believe that I'm able to turn your son's heart from the devil back to God? Do you believe that I am able to heal your marriage so that you will cease sitting on the pew in the church envious of other people's marriages, which you don't know anything about, which are oftentimes fake and phony, and you can turn attention to your own wife, your own husband, and get your marriage healed? Do you believe that I can do it? I know that you have an enormous bill to pay this week. Do you believe that I can do it? Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you have faith in me? Do you have faith in God? They said unto him, "Yea, Lord," and that's what you ought to answer to the Lord. "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe in God. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. And I pray by faith in your name." Only after they verbally confirmed their faith, Danae, did Jesus touch their eyes and heal them. Please take note of his words, "According to your faith, be it unto you." So many people today have dark and wicked and evil hearts covered over with sin, foolishness, and rebelliousness, and yet they read books on prayer. They go to seminars on prayer. They get PhDs in prayer, and they say they pray, but they have no answers to prayer. Their lives are oftentimes a wreck, totally messed up because of dark hearts, no light there, no faith in God, no faith in Jesus. Are you in that situation today, where you have a wicked and evil and dark heart, where you don't have any faith in God, you don't have any faith in Jesus? While God, in his mercy and grace, often acts above and beyond what we believe and what we deserve. The rule is we will most often receive that which we ask for in faith. And we need to be very specific in our prayers. And we will not receive that which we do not ask for in faith. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. D.A. Carson wrote, in many ways, God says the same to men and women today. According to your faith, let it be so to you. How about it, dear Christian friend? How is it according to your faith? How is it this morning? How is it this afternoon? How is it today? According to your faith. There is much to have by faith and much that is never received because it is never grasped with faith. According to your faith does not mean in proportion to your faith. The level of sight in accordance with the level of faith. But rather, since you believe, your request is granted. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not theory to me. My family and others will tell you that this is how I have lived my life. Since 1979, I have lived by faith in God. I have raised a family of nine by faith in God. Most have graduated from college. What I am saying to you, over the past 40 years and especially 31 years of marriage, my wife, who is not my greatest friend in the world, and I can classify her as an enemy, she will tell you privately that this man has lived by faith. I've tried to hinder him, but yet he has lived by faith, and God has provided for a family of nine by faith for 31 years as he has preached the gospel. In other words, what I'm saying to you, I have a wife who will not lie to you about that just to make her husband look good. But she'll tell you that privately all by herself. And so this is not just theory to me, this is real. Every meal that has been supplied over 31 years has been provided for by God by faith in answer to prayer. Every place we've stayed has been provided by God by faith. There were many, many weekends when on Friday we needed some money, a serious amount of money by Monday. We needed it by Monday, had to have it by Monday. We didn't have it on Friday. We didn't have it on Saturday. We didn't have it on Sunday, but we prayed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and zip, bam, boom, God delivered on Monday. Not only has my wife witnessed that, but all of my children have witnessed it. There were days we woke up, we didn't have any food, and we didn't have any money. But we prayed in our family devotions, and God provided food every day of our lives. So this is not just theory to me, this is real. And if God can do it for me, God can do it for you, is what I'm telling you. Yes, even in these modern times. If you don't believe what happened to the blind men so many hundreds of years ago, believe what happened to me. Believe what God has done for me. Living in these modern times. And not only me, but thousands of others who have lived by faith and who have lived by prayer to God. So how many of us today have failed to receive from God simply because we do not believe in God? We don't have faith in God, as Jesus told us to do. You might be saying, well, I have faith. I believe that God can answer my request, Danae. Ask yourself if you have done as the blind men did in this account. Have you walked by faith? Have you acted in expectation that you will receive what you desire? Have you confessed verbally that God is who He says He is, and that because of His nature, He can do what you desire of Him, if it is in His will? And finally, today, ladies and gentlemen, have you followed through, even when it seemed as though a door was shut, or as though you were entering a place where you did not belong, when you didn't feel comfortable, and you were out of your comfort zone, you felt out of place? Did you continue to persist in God and pray to God? Because, my dear friends, this will oftentimes happen in your life. Many, many times you will feel like it's not going to work. Many, many times when you have people in your family who you think are with you, but they're against you. Judases who would fight against you. When you know what you're praying for is God's will. You will have friends who have been with you for 20 years to forsake you and not believe in your vision anymore and not support you in what you're praying for. You will enter into unfamiliar territory. And oftentimes, it's dark and cold. And you may not feel comfortable. But if you have faith in God, you pray on. And you march on in faith. Have you been persistent in your walk of faith? Have you been consistent? Are you faithful in your prayers to God? And by the way, dear friend, some of the things you're praying for may take 5 or 10 or 15, 30, 35, 45 years before they're answered by God. And some, you will never see them answered. You'll die first. Many Christians have died praying for something, and then after they died, it came to pass. Have faith in God. You may not feel good about it. Have faith in God. You may not feel comfortable. Have faith in God. Your wife or your husband may not go with you. Have faith in God. Your children may oppose you. Have faith in God. You will be hit from the outside and from the inside. Have faith in God is what Jesus commanded us to do. And you will be amazed by and by what God will do. Our dear sister Fanny Crosby wrote many years ago, while struggling through this veil of tears, I want more faith in Jesus. Amid temptations, cares, and fears, I want more faith in Jesus. To war against the foes within, I want more faith in Jesus. To rise above the powers of sin, I want more faith in Jesus. to brave the storms that here I meet. I want more faith in Jesus, to rest confiding at his feet. I want more faith in Jesus. I want a faith that works by love, a constant faith in Jesus, a faith that mountains can remove, a living faith in Jesus, a living faith in Jesus. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to pray like your daughter in the faith, Fanny Crosby, to have more faith in you, Holy Father God, to have more faith in Jesus. Help us to have the kind of faith that the two blind men had who got healed by Jesus, God in the flesh. And Lord, we pray that you will have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. For those of us who have sinned against you because of our lack of faith in you, our unbelief, our doubt, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Clear these sins away and help us to repent. And help us to pray in faith. Help us to have faith in you, God, as Jesus commanded us. And help us to walk by faith. Hear and answer our prayers. Deliver us, Lord, from temptation, evil, and sin and trouble. And Lord, make us to be victorious every day of our lives for your glory, your praise and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and from hell itself. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says very clearly in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of outer darkness. The Bible also says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now that is bad news. Hell is bad news. But I thank God that I have some good news for you. Not only for you, but for me. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will do so. Here's God's promise for you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If you're willing to believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, everybody repeat after me. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied, I have stolen, I have lusted after people and things, I have dishonored my parents by being disobedient to them. I have taken your holy name in vain, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me. Have mercy upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, stay seated this way. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other email addresses on whatever site you might be on, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.